From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette. More Idaho Matters right now. When a power line falls and sparks a wildfire that then burns through homes and neighborhoods, who pays for that destruction? That's a question being asked in several states, including Idaho, after the deadly Santiam fire in Oregon 4 years ago. The fire killed 11 people. It also burned more than 5,000 homes and buildings. PacifiCorp, which provides power to six states, including Idaho, was found liable to billions of dollars in damages. And it and other power companies are now looking for ways to reduce liabilities after these fires. So who should pay the price after fires like the Santiam fire in Oregon or the Marshall fire in Colorado or the Maui fire that killed more than 100 people in Hawaii last August? Kylie Moore took a deep dive in the subject for High Country News, and she's joining us now. Welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
So let's start with the Santiam fire. Can you remind us very quickly of what happened in Gates, Oregon?
Yeah, so the Santiam fire was one of several fires sparked by downed power lines in southern Oregon and northern California over Labor Day weekend in 2020. And like you said, you know, those fires killed 11 people, 5,000 homes and other structures got burned. And as a result, the utility company PacifiCorp is liable for billions of dollars in damages, and the lawsuits just keep being filed. So expect that number to go up.
So you wrote, I mean, you're reporting that PacifiCorp is hoping to reduce future liabilities. So what is this bill that actually passed in Utah that creates a customer paid what they're calling a fire fund?
So Utah's legislature created a new law this winter that allows PacifiCorp's division of Rocky Mountain Power to raise customer rates by a few dollars every month for this fund. It can total up to $1 billion in the next 10 years. And the fund will basically go above and beyond what Rocky Mountain Power's insurance already covers to help them out in the event of a costly wildfire that they start. And in addition to the fire fund, the new legislation actually, for the first time, caps the amount of certain damages that Utahans can recover from the utility. So it's really comprehensive.
So would this fire fund also cover things that would actually reduce future fires?
To an extent. So the utility already has to have a wildfire management plan. And that plan is part of the law's stipulation for accessing the fire fund. So kind of, but that's definitely not the focus.
So I'm curious, what does PacifiCorp say about this fund?
They say that, you know, they need to raise customers' rates because it's expensive to provide electricity these days. And while that's true, as evidenced by how much money they need to pay for their role in Oregon's Labor Day fires, the costs are in part because the utility is burning the very fossil fuels that warm the climate and therefore increase wildfire risk.
What about critics? What do they think of this fire fund in Utah?
Yeah. So what I just said about, you know, contributing to climate change yet offloading the costs is definitely one of the critiques that I heard in my reporting. A staff attorney at the Sierra Club told me that this is really, quote, climate inaction coming home to roost. And critics also say that the fund in Utah disincentivizes wildfire risk reduction work because the utility can actually still access the fund even if they're found negligent in starting or contributing to a fire.
So my understanding is that PacifiCorp is also asking for waivers in other states, including here in Idaho, to reduce liability costs in the event of a wildfire. So, Kylie, what kind of limits would the waiver set if this happened?
Yeah, so these waivers that are filed in a bunch of states across the West, it would limit what a utility company can be held liable for and what they have to pay post-wildfire. So survivors right now of a wildfire, they can sue for actual damages, which is like the value of a burned house. And they can also sue for indirect damages. That includes everything from emotional distress to lost wages, punitive damages, things like that. And these waivers that were filed would actually only allow survivors to sue for that first category I described, the actual damages. And usually the actual damages awarded in these cases are much smaller, like a tenth of the cost, than all the indirect damages.
Has Idaho's Public Utilities Commission said anything about this waiver proposal?
They have. So it was filed in the fall, and then this spring, I think about a month and a half ago, they rejected it in Idaho, saying that the waivers were not in the public interest and that they also weren't enforceable under Idaho law.
And I'm curious, what about Oregon? Have they said anything about these waivers as well?
Yeah, so around the same time, the Oregon Public Utilities Commission also rejected the request. And in its response, the PUC in Oregon said, you know, the state really needs to come up with policy and regulatory solutions for all utilities, not just one. And I think that's, you know, the case across the West too.
So I want to go back to the fire fund for a minute that we talked about in Utah, because California has one of these, correct?
Yeah,
And
it does
so,
have a fund. Oh, sorry.
no, so what I was going to say though, but what's interesting is that we shouldn't just point out PacifiCorp, because there are other power companies facing lawsuits over fires. So with that said, what's the solution then, or is there one? I mean, who should be paying when a utility sparks a wildfire?
That's the million-dollar question. It will be interesting to see if other utilities in other states kind of follow the playbook that PacifiCorp has laid out with its fire fund legislation and its attempts for these waivers. You know, my sources say to definitely expect similar requests and legislative attempts in the coming years throughout the region. But I think to answer your question, you know, I spoke with a survivor of the Labor Day fires who really isn't pleased with PacifiCorp trying to get out of paying what he thinks they should. And something he told me really stuck with me. He said, you know, quote, shirking responsibility is not the answer when their actions kill people and devastated lives. So either way this question shakes out, there's high stakes. There's people's lives, people's homes, communities, and then billions of dollars as a result. So it's a really tricky question that I think the Western US really has to grapple with moving forward.
No, I absolutely agree. Well, I appreciate your reporting on this, Kylie. Just such an interesting topic and something I think all of us should definitely be better educated in. So thank you for your time as well as your reporting.
Thank you so much for having me on.
We've been talking with reporter Kylie Moore about her High Country News story that asks, when a utility sparks a wildfire, who pays? We will put a link to her story on our website, boisestatepublicradio.org. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
Here at Shortwave Space Camp, we escape our everyday lives to explore the mysteries and quirks of the universe. We find weird, fun, interesting stories that explain how the cosmos is partying all around us. From stars to dwarf planets to black holes and beyond, we've got you. Listen now to the Shortwave podcast from NPR.